Hi, it's Watercolor with Wendy. The other day I saw an advertisement for a seminar on watercolor paper, and it had a few come-ons, like, do you need to use 100% cotton, or I was also going to talk about brushes and equipment. And then I noticed that it was free, but I noticed it was probably put on by a paper company or a company that sells art supplies. So good luck on that. I think it will be prejudice in one direction or another. But in the meantime, I would like to discuss supplies in a more extensive way, starting with paper. And we have generally three grades of paper: rough, hot press, and cold press. And then we have all the different manufacturers. And as I tell my students before they buy any kind of supplies, you're going to go into the art store or online and going to find many pads of paper labeled watercolor paper. But it isn't going to be good enough watercolor paper to make excellent paintings because it's not 100% cotton. So we start there. Probably everything on the shelf, except for Arches, which is it is from France, and it's green cover for the cold press. All the rest of them, on spiral notebooks and such, are not 100% cotton. So it makes me so sad because I think of all the people that tried out watercolor on their own and used that paper, and they wonder why they couldn't get special effects. It's because the paper doesn't absorb the water and the paint in the same way. It's full of other things like pulp from trees and whatnot, and it has no absorbing abilities compared to cotton. So there have been other types of materials used for paper over the years, such as linen. You may be able to get a piece of linen paper in Europe or something. I don't see it around here. So we use, most people that are professional watercolorists use 100% cotton paper. And for most fine arts works, we're going to use the cold press because it has more ability to absorb the colors and the paints, and it has that rough surface. And it is rougher on one side than the other. It has a rough surface, which is great for special techniques, like especially dry brush. And because the weave is a little bit more open, it hasn't been attacked with a hot iron, as hot press is, then it absorbs the water more deeply and in a more unusual and versatile way. So that we have more options for how we make techniques and effects on our paper. So we're pretty happy with that Arches 100% cotton cold press. I use 140. Now, 140 is the weight of a square kilo, I think it is. And so that each piece of paper doesn't weigh 140 pounds, of course. It's just that's the way they calculate it. And you can get 90 pound, which is less. And I don't bother with it too much. I mean, I don't even have it around. But if I were doing something really simple, like a Christmas card or some little nothing thing, then I would use 90 pound because it's cheaper and I'm not going to be doing magical, fancy stuff on it. Okay, so we're going to not pay too much attention to the hot press paper because it is good to try it once in a while to see the differences. And what you'll find right away is that it takes longer for the water to be absorbed into the paper and it makes harder edges, which can be good if you're doing something really sharp, like a architectural drawing. It's used a lot for professional commercial work, for illustrations, for books, let's say, children's books, whatever. And so you might use hot press for that because it doesn't have the texture that we were talking about. The rough is a less tight version of the cold press, and that has got bigger weave and larger particles. I'm guessing that they didn't blend the particles as long as they do for the cold press, so that you have more texture and bigger texture on the paper. And I wouldn't see any use for that unless you're doing a large format painting that you wanted the larger texture, and something that would be viewed from more of a distance. So 22 by 30 is sort of the standard size. You can get larger watercolor paper, and I'd love to experiment with it sometime. You can get large rolls of paper that are 40 inches by maybe 6 feet, and you can cut them down to size. And then there's other versions of that. It's very expensive, so I haven't bothered with it yet, but someday I'd like to try a large format. And it's also more expensive to frame, of course, so I haven't really found a strong enough desire to try the very large format watercolors. Maybe someday. And then we want to talk about brands. So we've got Kilimanjaro and Kaesan and a bunch of different brands. There's nothing really wrong with all different kinds of brands if they're 100% cotton, but what you want to notice is they're very, very different. So if you switch from Arches, which I'm very used to, one time I couldn't get paper I wanted, so I used, I think it was Kaesan, I can't remember, another brand, and it was so upsetting because the edge that it held was quite different. It did hold an edge, but not exactly the same way. It was sort of like the water was going underneath the surface of the paper and coming out in blotches, and I really didn't like it. Almost like blotting paper. So do not try a whole bunch of different kinds of paper. You want to stick with one until you are very comfortable with it, and then you someday, if somebody gives you a piece of other paper, you can try it. But don't use it for anything important until you're used to it. Yeah, so sometimes people bring in really old paper that someone had in their cupboard for 50 years. And can you use it? Well, it is going to be a little bit yellow from age because the oxygenation of the paper takes place. And so that's, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly why, but it'll be a little bit yellow from age. Well, it's okay if your painting doesn't require a brilliant white, which brings up the subject of super white paper by some companies. I think Kilimanjaro makes one and others do. I think Arches does too, makes a super white, which has been bleached. So it's super, super white. It's more white than the white paper that we normally use. I don't like to use it because I feel like the bleach interferes with my colors. I might be making that up, but you're free to try the variation on the super white paper, but I wouldn't try the variation in the brand right away. So if someone gives you paper that I'm not describing as Arches 140 pound cold press, then use it for just fun things or experiments or whatever, but don't use it for a painting that you care about a lot because you'll struggle for no reason. So 300 pound and 400 pound, yeah. I don't see much use for 300 unless you're going larger because it really, the effects aren't going to be that obvious, especially to a beginner because you won't even know how to use that 300 pound paper and it's quite expensive. But if you're going to do a major work and it's going to be a little bit larger, then switch to your 300 pound, which can be up to $25 a sheet, I think. Then the 400 pound, yeah, even more. So I just find that more appropriate for large size. I don't quite see how you're going to use it on a smaller format, but there's no need for it. I've never felt terribly confined by my 140 pound. And maybe others do, so that I'm not against it, but it's just expensive and I wouldn't waste my money on it. So that's a lot about that. We could talk about brushes a little bit, and we won't talk about paint because it'll take a whole nother podcast. Brushes, it's really hard to get some of my favorite English brushes now, so you really have kind of on your own, but I do trust English brushes more. Rosemary is a good brand. I'm having trouble getting my favorite, which is Pro Art. I think they're going out of business, in fact. So I look for little random brushes on the internet, and I can find a few, but I'm going to probably switch to Rosemary. And it's just because the brushes are better quality, and that's because people are more picky in Europe, and they want a better brush. They can tell the difference. Here, people don't care. And 90% of the people that do watercolor just do it as sort of a lightweight hobby, and they don't do it much, and they don't do it for long, so they're never going to notice the difference between a really bad brush and a good brush. You know, I wear my brushes out, and so I have a 25-year brush that I've used a lot, so I'd need a good quality brush, and so that's why I use the English ones. The others are probably mostly made in China. Yeah, and don't get too seduced by sable brushes, because the newer acrylic fibers are better. They're better imitation, and you're not taking away the fur of a little animal. All right, no more about that today.